the one you love.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I'm talking to Sandra about overweight. When you eat to fill the emptiness caused by the failure to deal with life, the drain, if you like, then you look at yourself in the mirror and you realize you've got conflict. Now, you've got two conflicts. One, because you're frustrated and angry and upset. You didn't get your way, or somebody else did. And that frustration is anger, and anger is compounding the problem. Anger is also one of the second deadly sin. Pride being the spiritual, anger being the handmaiden. That's called judgment. You know, your mother was judgmental, and you've inherited the pride and judgmentalness, anger and frustration, the willfulness of your mother. But the willfulness of your mother, and hence you, is not your will at all, but the will of the spirit in the garden that did the same thing to Eve and Adam and caused them to fall from sovereignty by eating the wrong food. It's a forbidden experience. If you told your kids, don't eat the pie that's on the windowsill, we're going to have dinner tonight, and they ate it, and you said to them, did you eat of this pie I told you not to eat? And he says, no, you didn't see what you saw. You know, no, I didn't really. But if I did, Johnny made me do it. You as a mother would be more angry with that kid for making an excuse than if he told you the truth, right?
Right.
And that's the way it is. We do what's wrong, and then we run into pleasure. Actually, people run into their food. Food becomes addictive. Food immediately becomes a taint. The taint of food is passed from mother to daughter. The unloved Eve becomes the unloved daughter, because there are no men. Jesus was the first man, the first real man that had a spirit in him. And he says, eat this, remembering me. Because Adam ate the food forgetting, in rebellion. So eat remembering is a conformity. And if you could eat food with a desire to become one with the will of the Creator rather than being in rebellion, your overweight would disappear.
So should we just think about Christ?
No, that's not the way it's done. No, that's not the way it's done.
Okay.
It's not just thinking of his name. It's a little bit more profound than that. Food has been your Lord and Savior. And involving yourself more deeply in the security or the salvation or the comforter of food comes up with it, the unholy comforter, and it reprograms your behavior. You remain the unloved Eve, frustrated with men, setting up men to fail, judging them for it. Do you hear what I'm saying, Sandra?
Yes.
That's what you do, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, of course. Confess ye your sins.
I have many.
But that's the basic one.
Okay, so how am I going to overcome this? I read your book.
Well, what you need is the love. What you need is the love of a real man. But the trouble is, there aren't many to go around, and I'm taken.
I have a pretty good husband.
Okay.
Tries to help me with that.
I'm glad. I'm happy for you. But then
it's still not enough.
Well, I'm sure you get frustrated with him, though. It's called projection. You know, as he doesn't live up to your expectations, and so that frustrates you.
Yeah.
And it may give in to you when he shouldn't. That frustrates you.
Because when I want him to and he doesn't.
And that frustrates you. There's a will there, don't you see?
Yes.
But that will is active, and as long as the will is active, so is frustration, and so is the imperfect way of dealing with imperfect people, making you more imperfect and making you more empty and desolate. And then in that desolation, you go right back to the food, the tainted food that comforts the unloved woman.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
It's perfect.
Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding depend upon your donations to keep this program on the air. What is a donation? Well, to you, it could be a tank full of gas. To a person in need, it could be a Cure Stress device and How Your Mind Can Keep You Well book. What is a donation to you? It could be a meal out. To someone in need, it could be Roy Masters' insight about an incurable condition that doctors don't understand. What's a donation? To you, it could be a bottle of wine or a bag of chips every week. But Roy Masters would use that money to help someone in prison and change their life for good. So when you think, my donations don't count, you're wrong. Your donations do count. And without you, this program cannot continue to be heard on the air. So please, make a tax-deductible donation. Call 1-800-877-3227 or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or go to FHU.com right now and make your tax-deductible contribution.
The Foundation of Human Understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the Foundation of Human Understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Sandra, I wish there's some psychiatrists and psychologists and doctors that call me and have a good fight with me, because I'd love that. But because they don't understand that. They just don't understand it. But I do. And if you understand it, you'll start getting better. Now, I will say this, that the hardest, the most difficult, for the most part, if life is just built out of little frustrations, then you're going to, it'll take a little while, because a lot of people have added to food, there's other things. You know, there's clothes, there's smoking, there's, you know, drinking and partying and the art world and music, the indulgence in all of them.
Because my only indulgence.
Well, so therefore it should be easy.
Well, it should be, and it gets better at times.
No, it gets better. It gets better when you're calmer and you're more patient. Work on that.
Okay.
Listen, patience is the evidence that you have a union with your Christ, and that food is not your Lord and Savior. But your food is your Lord and Savior, and up comes, slowly but surely, a reinforcement of your dark side, right behind the misuse of food, and also with men, the misuse of sex. And of course, with women, the wrong offering of sex for control. Follow that?
Right.
Leave it with food. Let's start with the food. Up with the food. For instance, I'll give you an example, shall I?
Yes.
I have been a professional hypnotist, and I can induce any kind of illness I choose. And I also know how to cure it, but you can't cure it through suggestion. You only cure illness by returning a person to their sovereignty, as I'm trying to do with you. Follow that? But as but the average person is very vulnerable to people like me. Not that I'm a Svengali or anything, but I do understand it, but I will not use it for mischievous purposes of aggrandizing myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't be begging for money right now. I would have all I wanted. You follow?
Uh-huh.
All right. So I could program a person for the rest of his life to stand on his head whenever he saw a glass. I would make the suggestion a glass of water or an apple, a nice rosy apple. So, you know, you saw the Manchurian Candidate, did you?
Yes.
Okay. You know, the Queen of Hearts, right?
Uh-huh.
That was his mother. That's why the Queen of Hearts chose.
Right.
It represented the mother, and just like food is your mother, too. The women carry the culture forward, for better or for worse. You follow?
Yes.
And there's a symbol of the Queen of Hearts, you see? Even in Alice in Wonderland, falling through the looking glass, it was the Queen of Hearts, too, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's symbology there. But let's say I planted a suggestion in your mind, and suggestions are very deep. You can't fight them. Even if you know they're there, and even if you know I put them there, while I'm looking at you, you can't get rid of them. You will do it. And that's how, and it's very easy to do it too. It's frighteningly easy, and I want people when they come on Sunday to understand how to, I want to demonstrate it, and then I want to teach you how to deal with it happening too, because it happens every day of your life. All the suggestions of your life are being reinforced that were planted as a child. Now, here it goes. 20 years from now, I meet you again, and you invite me to your apartment, and the suggestion I gave you was every time you see a red apple, you'll stand on your head.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what I'll suggest. Now, there's other ways of implying suggestions which are much more subtle than that, but that works too for most people. Some people you have to be more subtle and get more close underneath the conscious to drive the suggestion home. But this one does work for most people. 20 years from now, I'd come into your apartment and you say, "Excuse me, but I have to do my yoga." I said, "What do you mean?" Now, as if I'm not the one that did it. You've forgotten all about that. I'm the one that implanted the suggestion. And so you stand on your head, and guess what? There's an apple in your head. There's an apple sitting on the table. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you ask him, well, you know, what's your favorite food? Oh, apples. See? And he's always make sure there's an apple there. And people bring their programming. They bring the kind of environment with them that sees to it that their conditioning, because the conditioning is what reinforces who they are, and without bringing the home life they had as a kid into their home life as an adult. Follow that?
Yes.
That's what we do. You brought your home life, you brought your mother into that, into this situation. Every time you eat food, you're doing that, aren't you? You're reinforcing who you are, which she is.
Yes.
And all her frustrations, you're not you yet, but you are listening, the real you. Is listening. They're not you doesn't like what I'm saying.
Yes.
There's a part of you that doesn't like what I'm saying.
Well, and that part's been pretty strong this week.
Yes, and every time you get upset with your husband, you know, put him on a pedestal, or unconsciously you set him up to fail, and when he does, you judge him, and then when you judge him, you've got conflict. And when you've got conflict, you have emptiness. And when you have emptiness, you want to eat. Because you haven't fulfilled your wifely duty.
And you're physically full, but you're emotionally empty.
Yes, that's correct. More empty, because the eating of the food is denial. In other words, the original sin was like this. When you set a standard, it could be anything. It says, don't ride your horse today. And so then, if you're my daughter and you ride your horse, I'll say, did you ride the horse I told you not to ride today? What you've done is set yourself apart from my love.
Well, plus she'll want to ride it because she was told she shouldn't.
Pardon?
There's a part of this that would want to ride that horse because we were told we couldn't.
Because that's the rebellious side of us that rebels against God because we want to play God. And there's a part of us that talks to us, that exhorts us to rebel against God and comforts us in that rebellion, and there's the food. In that, every time you eat, there's that spirit in there that's reinforcing your rebellion and keeping you apart from salvation and making you emptier, because by eating, you defy. You find a comfort other than God's comfort.
Hmm.
Got that?
Yeah. Didn't look at it quite that way.
Well, that's what the fly said as he walked on the mirror. All right?
Well, this judgmentalness, I've been wanting to ask you about that. How do I recognize that and quit being that way?
I have a
family that was extremely judgmental.
I know, but you have to be still. And so the gentleman that called a little while ago, they said when I was walking him through the exercise that he was going through a tremendous anxiety, I said, now you must be very careful that when you sit quietly that you're coming towards the light, and there's a screaming pain inside there that wants to run away from being transformed.
Yes.
And it wants to run into a beer. He said a beer, and I said, okay, whatever it is. It wants to run into the beer to reinforce the transmogrified self. Follow that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So if you don't run into your food, it will give you the power. Once you sit still and you find that unity, then you have a marvelous, effortless control over your body. Where In your rebellion, you do not. In rebellion, what seduces you or what comforts you is in control of your soul, but the body comes with it.
Yeah.
Follow that?
Yeah, I understand that. That's scary.
Okay, but it's true for every single person on earth that ever was or ever will be. There is no other truth but that.
Yeah, I believe that.
Now, if you want to get better, you have to find the perfect way of sitting still. There's imperfect ways. And they're the Far Eastern techniques of meditation. And then there's the Judeo-Christian one, which I teach.
I didn't invent it.
I discovered it. It's not an invention of any kind.
I have your tape.
Use it then.
I've been using them.
But use it with this in mind, with this new understanding coming to you now. Okay. Use it now. Your whole idea is not to solve your overweight problem. It's solving your will problem.
Yes, you're right.
All right, good.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
All right,
good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of E-Still and No. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes free with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
It may seem that there's nothing you can do about stress, but you can instantly have more control than you might think. Roy Masters shows you how to conquer stress by taking charge of your thoughts, emotions, anxieties, and changing the way you react to problems. Do you realize that every time you think a negative thought, your body reacts as if it were in the grip of an actual tension-filled situation? Well, there is an antidote. Download the ebook, The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters, on Kindle and Amazon.com. William Wolfe says, this book is perhaps the single most dynamic weapon available to counter the tremendously destructive influences of the raging cultural revolution sweeping the world. Download the ebook now at Amazon.com or read the ebook, Meaning and Happiness, Overcoming Stress, Fear, and Pain. Download at Amazon.com on Kindle. In fact, there are many more titles by Roy Masters available for instant download right now at Amazon.com. Just search Roy Masters on Kindle and Amazon.com to positively change your life right now.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Remember, the seven deadly sins, the granddaddy of them all is pride, and pride is spiritual, and therefore perverts the natural senses, food, sex, money, whatever. It converts it to its pleasure, so that the ego is served through them, gratified, and made to feel falsely secure through them, and that's the nature of all addiction. Some people don't know they're fat, just like some people don't know they're angry. Some people don't know they're mean or selfish. We're not aware of our own faults. We feel very comfortable with our faults. And, you know, when you're eating a big candy bar and a chocolate bar and eating a big turkey sandwich when, you know, to fill a big emptiness that never gets filled that way, while you're doing it, there's a sort of a forgetfulness. That feels so good. Like a cigarette should, you know, that sort of thing. It feels so good that for a moment it's sliding down your gullet or whatever it is, snorted up your nose, whatever it is that you do, there's a forgetfulness. It's a way of sucking your thumb and blotting out your problems. So you can actually look at yourself in the mirror while you eat a chocolate bar and not see yourself or not be bothered by the fact that you're overweight. As a matter of fact, just like the alcoholic who drinks to forget the guilt of drinking and then he's more guilty for forgetting, because that's called denial. That's another guilt. So it goes on like that. He's guilty for drinking to forget the guilt of drinking, forget the guilt of drinking to forget the guilt of drinking, to forget the guilt of drinking until he forgets what he's drinking to forget about. And it's the same thing with eating. It's no different. Got the same problem. Drug addicts, people who eat too much, people who abuse food, food abusers, all have exactly, precisely, you can look at alcoholics, you overeaters, you can look at drug addicts while you're eating, you know, turkey sandwich and that devil's food cake. And they're looking back at you saying, what hypocrites. And they actually resent you trying to tell them to stop drinking when you can't stop eating. It's not any different. So you're creating problems in your family just by being fat, not being the authority of what it means to be a person who can conquer their disability. Okay? Now, a little bit of lard on you is okay, but, you know, it's not the way it is when you look in the malls. And if you look in the mirror, if you're not chewing on something while you're doing it, maybe you can see you've got a real problem, and it's not because you like food. The alcoholic feels the same way. I mean, he's not an alcoholic. He just likes to drink. And I like to eat. I like sex. I love to gamble and whatever. You all love to do whatever it is you do, but it's killing you. You're eating yourself to death, drinking yourself to death. But what you may not like, you people listening to me last night, what you may not have really appreciated me saying, for which reason you didn't call in on the subject, is I compared you with alcoholics and drug addicts. The behavior is different, I admit. The social aspect of it, but the ramifications to your life is similar in a different way. It runs a different course. You have a different kind of disease with different kinds of illnesses and maladies as compared with someone who drinks and snorts coke and ends up in jail, you see? I admit, same problem, though. Different branches of the same tree. Now, you can have a little lard on you. That won't hurt. But a lot of you are just big tubs of lard, and you know that. And I don't mean to be delicate about this. I need to be brutally honest, and you need to be pretty honest with yourself, because unless you understand the underlying reason for your excess baggage, those love handles and whatever endearing names you give to them, you're going to die from it. There were some experiments done some time ago. These experiments to which I'm alluding were done, I think, 60 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Tell me if I'm wrong. Big deal if I'm wrong, you know, 10 years or so, give or take 10 years. They did these experiments with rats, and they gave one control group all the food they can eat. Just let them eat themselves silly, and rats have a tendency to do that. Maybe that's the reason why they call them rats. But anything, they'll eat anything. And again, everything they wanted, and the other control group, they just gave them barely enough to live. And then after a certain period of time, they sacrificed them, equivalent to a sort of a lifespan, say a half lifespan. I don't know for sure, but I imagine a certain span equivalent to where disease shows up in us. And guess what they found? The ones that overate were old. And the ones that didn't get enough to eat, or barely got enough to eat, were young and vivacious and sexually active and all the good stuff that you think is wonderful stuff, and I suppose it is. And longevity has something to do with zipping up your mouth. I had a friend. He was a farmer, a very, very bright man, and he had a prize bull. It was worth $50,000. I mean, it was beautiful. And he would brush the coat down and give it molasses and oats to eat and all the good stuff, that the raw stuff, not cooked, of course. I can't imagine giving a cow cooked, you know, oatmeal or something, or cooking his hay for him and putting a little bit of sugar and molasses in it or something, you know, to make it taste better. No, raw. And that was a handsome bull. But while he was talking to me, he was sipping Coke and eating a donut. I said, how is it that you know what's good for your bull, but you're full of it yourself? Pardon the expression. You don't see what you're doing to yourself. He couldn't explain it. Usual rationale. Human beings rationalize everything. You only live once, you know, that sort of thing. But I tell you this, there's a purpose for life, and you cut short that purpose by every indulgence, every overindulgence. Is there any person out there who knows they're fat and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you realize that you're overweight and your habits, eating the wrong food or eating too much of the right food and the wrong food, is making you ill and causing diabetes and heart troubles and all kinds of things? You know, the Greek word for diet is, what it means is dieta, means way of life. And food is to the intestines like truth is to the soul. And if the truth is in the soul, if you live by truth, you won't feel hollow. And you won't fill it up with the nearest equivalent, whereby the compensation for food for what you lack in yourself as a person, that missing something in life caused by some kind of anger or selfishness, you won't be compensating for food, for the loss of, well, instead of soul food. There's something about our consciousness or souls that when it's not fulfilling the purpose for which it was created, and you have a perfect right, even if it's wrong. You have a right to be wrong, even if it's not right to be wrong, but you have that choice. Go on and gratify yourself all you want. Get angry, hurt, you know, use and be used. The whole thing, loving and being loved, it's also another sore spot, which is equivalent to being addicted to love, being addicted to love, being addicted to love, you know, that sort of thing. You get that song with a kind of sensual, gyrating noise that goes with it. I'm addicted to love. I'm addicted. You know that one? I'm too sexy for your love. I'm too sexy for your love. But what it does, it's so exciting. You know, these images of sex, these thoughts of food, they're sort of like their beloved tyrants, aren't they? And they do so much harm. But the trouble is, you don't understand the underlying force involved. I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. The gentleman that called a little while ago, I said, hint, hint, that when you will yourself to stop eating, when you will yourself to stop smoking, it increases the appetite. In other words, the more you struggle, the hungrier you become. And eventually, you lose the struggle and you give into it.
This is your special message because most of the other stations don't take this. We're on about 115 stations. But you've heard me talk about the Hypnosis of Life seminar. It's on July 5th. You do need to make a reservation. And I want to say this. It may be the last seminar. We don't know. Maybe the last seminar my dad does. God forbid. But every single one of these seminars is amazing. And if you want to transform your life, this beast of the Hypnosis of Life seminar, what is hypnosis anyway? You know, we see people performing strange things. You see people stiff enough for other people to sit on. That's not really what hypnosis is. That's a stage show. It's like magic. No, hypnosis is actually rooted in emotion. And when you react to something, you set yourself up for a domino effect of other reactions. And then your life goes in a very bad direction. You go off the rails. And then you struggle to get back on. And then you keep doing the same thing over and over. But you think that there's going to be a different outcome, but it never changes. Because you still don't understand the root of the problem. The root of the problem is you're reacting. And you're being angry. And you're holding on to hurt feelings. And you're judging. And all of that, it only, mainly, hurts you. It hurts other people too. But it hurts you the most. Somebody said being angry or hating someone is like drinking poison and expecting it to kill them. So you drink the poison and your hate is supposed to kill them. But it doesn't kill them, it kills you. Hate kills you. Fear kills you. And you've got to get out of the fight and flight. You just have to. But how do you do that? Well, when you're in a seminar environment, you know, there's a, I don't even know how to say it. It's has a very ancient feeling about it. Like a, I don't know, like a spiritual, I don't know, imagine what John the Baptist would have done. You know, a baptism, something that happens that doesn't happen in ordinary places ever. And maybe not ever in the church, even though that they go through the motions. But there's something when people come ready to be freed, and then that spreads through the entire audience, and people are opening up, and other people are crying as they hear other person next to them telling their story and realizing where they went wrong. See, then know the truth, and it shall make you free. That's what it is. It's your story. It doesn't matter about everybody else. What matters is what you're seeing, what you see about yourself. You can see everything about everybody. It doesn't help. Make your reservation at P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or go to roymastersseminar.com or FHU.com. You can make a reservation there. The Hypnosis of Life Seminar, subtitled How to Compel Stress to Make You Well. Be right back with more Advice Line.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
You get into the food, the drug, the alcohol, whatever, sex, and what's in the food is feeding off of you. Something gets into you and takes a little piece of your life. Anyone who gives you a full feeling, anyone who fulfills you in the way I've described, gratifies, exploits your hunger, is no friend. And one morning, politically or maritally, you wake up and you will find that. With women, you'll find that you think you're being loved. Pardon the expression. Hold your ears, please. Cover the ears of your children. You don't know the difference between being screwed and being loved. They're all the same to you. But you get frustrated. And then you think, you know, you've got something missing the morning after the night before. So you try harder, as women do often. And they do. They try harder to love. They get more screwed. Pardon the expression. And after a while, they just feel ravaged and demoralized. And something's missing. And they're disappointed in sex love, so they start to eat and make themselves fat so that they become ugly because they're afraid of what love does to them. They're afraid of this natural beauty they have that should be beautiful. It should be beautiful to a husband. And likewise, you know, a husband should welcome the love of his wife. And it's a beautiful thing. If there's no exploitation going on, serving egos, you see. There is something missing in the human relationship, which none of your psychiatrists and psychologists that I know of, well, there's a few, just a few. So, you know, there's always an exception to the rule. But that doesn't really cure the country, does it? And so that's what causes a woman to become fat and unattractive, because it is a protection against being attractive and getting into trouble. And if you solve the overweight problem with pills and drugs, you see, and you succeed in getting thin using hypnosis or whatever it is you use, you could actually get yourself into a more serious problem. You're better off staying fat. The cure is worse than the disease. We're going to go to Susan in LA. Hello, Susan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have obsessive compulsive orders, actions I always have my entire life. Little ones to kind of big ones, eating food, drugs, alcohol.
Oh, good Lord. You've got quite a few of them.
Well, now I'm not into drugs and alcohol anymore. I couldn't just have one drink, then I'll want more. It's bad for me if I have a little bit. A cookie, I'll want the whole box.
Sure, sure. You just transferred the pleasure.
Now I go to
ego gratification. You've transferred from one ego gratification to another. That's the reason when people stop smoking, they start eating, because the ego has to have the ego gratification, the stimulus to exist, and to stay ahead of the pain of wrong living, of the guilt of wrong living. You heard me talk to the gentleman a few moments ago.
Yeah.
See, now look, you have a sin. I'm going to put this word back in the vocabulary because it's a very good word. You have a life that's not lived properly. I would venture to guess that the root of that sin is what it usually is from the very beginning, is hostility or anger or hate or judgment. I mean, they're all the words meaning the same thing. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So who are you judging?
Is
it everybody? Are you very unforgiving? Do you hold grudges?
Yeah, I don't
take
think
accounting. Take accounting for people's wrongs that they do to you.
I'm not consciously. I don't. If anything, I think that I'm more
too kind.
I'm too kind, and I'm more judgmental on myself. I'm really hard on myself.
Well, no, that's the evidence. No, the evidence. That's the dead giveaway. The judging of others is often turned towards yourself, so you don't see you. You're hard on yourself. And that becomes a distraction of the fact that you really do judge others. But the thing is, you're too kind to others. What happens is you're trying to overcome the pain of guilt, or some guilt, and you try to get the love of other people by catering to them and being a people pleaser. You're getting an image of yourself, hoping to get an image of yourself by the good deeds that you do. The trouble is people see this for the weakness that it is, and you can't help but make them take advantage of you. And when they do take advantage of you, you resent them, and then you feel guilty, like you've done the wrong. You've been set up since you were a little child to people please and never satisfy a parent of some kind, so that you always felt like you are the wrong person, even though the person has wronged you.
Yeah.
Correct? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I felt like I never pleased either one of my parents.
I know, it's exactly right. See, now how do I know that?
Yeah.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Hi, this is David Masters. For over 50 years, my dad, Roy Masters, has been helping people who could never be cured by conventional means. As a matter of fact, so many lives have been affected that without him, the world would be a different place. But what about you? Has your life been affected? Has your life changed for the better? Have your family relationships and your work environment changed for the better? My dad has a difficult time asking people for help, so I'm happy to do it for him. Please make a contribution to the Foundation of Human Understanding at FHU.com or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Soldiers coming back from the battlefield will appreciate your donation because they will get the coping strategies provided by Roy Masters for free to keep them from committing suicide. And this radio program, every program you hear, is supported by you, the listener. Go to FHU.com and make a contribution, or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528.
Are you struggling with a sexual problem? You need to read Roy Masters' book, Understanding Sexuality. In Roy Masters' book, he says, "The great white father of psychiatry, Sigmund Freud, came very close to basic truth, but before he had quite reached it, he veered off into the outer reaches of scientific confusion. If only he had been able to view the facts that his searching mind uncovered by the light of spiritual discernment, he might have discovered the truth about man's nature. He might have discovered, for instance, that the sex drive in man is somehow linked with and blossoms from a traumatic experience with a parent long forgotten. Of course, but nonetheless, there at the core of his being, surrounded and hidden by the concentric growth rings of subsequent traumatic experience that have binded him to the original violation of his human identity." It's Understanding Sexuality by Roy Masters. Go to FHU.com, FHU.com, or call 1-800-877-3227, or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528.
Stress does not have to inhibit your progress in life any longer, because now there's the Cure Stress app. According to Dr. Richard Titus, Cure Stress is a calming technique unlike anything you've ever tried. Ron Carlson, PhD, said it contains in the practice the seeds to freeing us from our bondage and slavery to compulsive thoughts and negative emotions. What's on the Cure Stress app? A quick 7-minute audio guides the listener through the technique. George M. Hader, MD, says it's the only approach I have ever seen in the whole field of psychology which allows you to become independent, competent, and effective. Go to curestressapp.com. Stress does not have the power that it had before. Cure Stress is available on the App Store and Google Play for free. If you don't control stress, stress will control you. Free yourself from negative emotions. Go to curestressapp.com right now. Endorsed by healthcare professionals and used since 1960, this free app contains guided audio programs at curestressapp.com. Feel free again. Go to curestressapp.com right now.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Susan, see, the trouble is, your problem is, the people-pleasing comes from resentment. The resentment makes you feel guilty. And the guilt makes you think, because you're a sensitive and decent human being, deep down inside, you're a sweet and decent human being, a little child in there that never really had the love of a parent that would guide you to yourself and encourage you to be whole. The cruelty, the thoughtlessness of your parents upset you so badly, they made you their servant. They kept you from unfolding like a flower to shame them, to be a contrast to the kind of life they led. Parents are very much like that. They don't want their children to grow either. They want to be the source of pride in making them be successful by driving them and pressuring them. Or they will destroy the child because they, in their ego, they can only feel important when something is made unimportant. They feel strong as long as somebody is weak. They're happy as long as they can make somebody miserable. It is relativity. Relative to somebody poor, they feel rich. This is the nature of the ego, and parents are infected with it. And you resent your parents. The trouble is you are being programmed to play the role appointed for you to always make them feel better about themselves by making you feel worse about yours. And that's why they're never going to be satisfied, no matter how much you try to please them. But you're stuck with it, and this transfers to parent-like people all through your life. Now, and then if the guilt of that is so painful that you have to, the pain of this has to be relieved by distraction of pleasure. Pick your pleasure or pick your poison. It doesn't make any difference. If you stop one thing, you'll pick up another.
Yeah, and then my new thing is church. I feel like I'm addicted to church.
So it doesn't make any difference. One that works too. It's just as addictive as gambling.
Yeah.
It's a non-drug. It can be an opiate like anything else. However, if you can drop your hostility and deeply understand what I said, I know this is just words right now, but if you can sit quietly and come to grips with this in the way I'm going to show you, you'll be over it next week. You've been munching on what I've been saying?
Yeah, I have. And everything makes sense. The part of me being judgmental.
Angry. Yes, it is a repressed rage.
Me judging people, but I'm not.
You will become aware of it.
You see,
it's because you do get frustrated with the fact that you look at your past and see how frustrated you got with your parents. You never could please them. They surely didn't please you. It must have upset you. Must have irritated you. Made you angry at your parents. You couldn't please them no matter what.
Yeah.
And when you, it's the same with people, you've transferred that behavior to other authorities in your life. You're always trying to please people to try to get a sense of good, a sense of worth that you're steadily losing by just doing that. See? Because you're becoming more worthless in the process of feeling more worthwhile. You're addicted to seeking approval. You're degrading yourself for the sake of that approval. Damned if you get it. Damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get it, you hunger for more. It's like drinking salt water. It isn't really quite the love, the nourishment for your soul that your soul can live upon. You see, it's like salt water. The more you drink, the more thirsty you become. And so the moment you get it, you're encouraged. You become addicted to that person who seems to encourage it, but that person turns out to be a user. You're enslaving yourself to that person. You're worshiping the wrong God.
Yeah.
See, so therefore, the net result of that is a resentment towards that you may not be able to admit. You just try harder to please. And so there you've got this conflict. You're busy trying to get a better image of yourself, to complete a sense of who you are through people. That is very dangerous course. You'll never be happy. You'll never draw the same breath as long as you live. See what I mean?
Yeah, I do, exactly.
Insider's break. And all the commercials that are taken on this program don't get to every station. So what I'm saying to you now is for you, a special group of people out there who listens during this time, Roy Masters, my dad, 87 years old, giving the Hypnosis of Life seminar, and the subtitle is How to Compel Stress to Make You Well. Because if stress can break you down, it can build you up too. Make you stronger, more resilient, more powerful, and someone to be reckoned with, not in a bad way, but in a good way, in an amazingly good way. And you know, there has to be a counterbalance in this universe. Think about what I'm saying, a counterbalance. There's the negative stress out there, the bad stress that breaks you down, forces you to eat, drink, and smoke. And you resent it. And then it kills you even faster. But if you say, okay, I'm going to be a survivor. I'm not going to let that stress kill me. No, I'm going to become stronger. And the way you do that is with mental, spiritual armor. And you work out. You know, like I work out with weights. Not big ones. But I work out with enough weight to keep me as strong as I need to be. I'm not going into any contest, so I don't need to be a muscle man. But my point is, you need that stress in order to keep you in shape. And then when times come where you need to be strong, you're strong. See, and there's times where you have to be spiritually strong. And there are many, many thousands of times that you could be spiritually strong and change an outcome. in someone's life, in your own life, or in somebody that you care for, you're spiritually strong, then you become the prevailing influence. Because people are subject to the strongest influence, including yourself, if you're the stronger influence. So the be still and know, and you will begin to change your entire view of life. But I want to remind you, the Hypnosis of Life seminar on July 5th, that's Sunday, July 5th, subtitle, How to Compel Stress to Make You Well. It does. Now, I believe we have a new website. It's called roymasterseminar.com. Or if you want to go to fhu.com, you can make your reservations there, or you can write.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Susan, so no, you got to sit quietly and stop that. And if you could just sit still the way I'm teaching you, sit quietly, the reality of that will catch up with you. And it'll be a little bit painful to begin with, because it's very hard to sit still and let this reality catch up with you. And you'll see all your hostility bubbling to the surface. But the trouble is, the hostility you have converts through guilt into obsessive compulsive behavior to please. And then the frustration, not being able to get the satisfaction, damned if you get it, damned if you don't, turns into a great pain, because it's as much pain to get it as not to get it. Follow that?
Yeah, I do.
So then you have all these, then you have to ease the pain of that by some way, and now you're doing it religiously. I know that religion is the best course, but then you can be dangerously drugged by it, because it can become, you use it the same way. You try to be the very best religious person you can be, and you become obsessed by it.
Yeah.
You become a fanatic. That's what happens to people who try to solve their problem through religion. They become obsessed by the opiate of religion the way that other opiates were, except it seems more acceptable. And you will lose sight of, you won't find God that way either. You'll think you have what you haven't again. There's so many traps, Susan. There's so many traps in this world, I don't know how anyone survives them. So you've got to drop your anger towards your parents. Because what happened is, the moment you started to, as a child, you see, ideally we do need loving parents. We do need parents to guide us, to encourage us to unfold like a flower and hold up their own selves as an example to urge you to be like them, not to imitate them or seek their approval, but to come to find what is in them in you. Follow that?
Yeah.
That's what, and that a parent can die. I can die content to know that my children are not addicted to me and stuck on me. You see, but the sense of who they are, I've delivered them to the God that made them, and I'm not the God that they need approval from. But the trouble is, parents, they don't, you grow up to be a parent. If you were a parent, you might also set one of your kids up to give you approval or something. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You could easily do that. It goes from one generation to another. Your parents may not have meant to do it. But even so, whether they meant to do it, or compelled to play the role, as you would be if you were a parent, to your husband or with your kids, regardless if it's purposeful or not, you need to learn to forgive them and drop the rage. The minute you find it in your heart to drop the rage, and it takes contact with the God of your unfoldment to be able to drop the rage. Otherwise, you can't do it. You've got to sit still and find repentance for your foolish way of life, looking for people, trying to please people to get that approval, hating your parents, trying to please your parents to get love from them and never getting it and hating them is a vicious cycle. You got to drop that. Only by sitting still and experiencing the repentance of the ego, the death of the ego, the beginning of the new you, the old person dies, a new person is born again. Then, through that experience, you drop all the anger and hate, because you have no more reason to hate. You have no reason to people please. Hate people, please. Hate people, please.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle, because you found God, and He loves you. Everything you do pleases Him because He gives you the energy. He gives you the energy to please Him. You're committed. The love is in you, and you don't care whether people love you or not. You love them. Follow that?
Yeah, I do.
You're not doing anything for approval. You do it because you're like an apple tree. And if you wouldn't be an apple tree, if you didn't give apples freely. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I didn't mean to preach to you or anything like
oh,
that.
Oh, no. It's all good.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Same to you.
We got a call from Louisville, and Terry is, I think.
Hi, Mr. Masters.
Okay. Go ahead, Terry.
Mr. Masters, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, I'm so glad to have you back on the program here. I just want to let you know I'm still listening to your tapes and reading your books.
Are you getting better, I hope?
I feel a lot better, yes. I've gotten so much help from you. I really, really appreciate it. And right now I'm struggling with motivation as if it's just going to fall out of the sky and land on my lap
I'll tell you what. Pick me a chore that you don't want to do.
Oh, I hate folding up clothes.
Okay,
no,
look, listen,
I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because I don't know why. I really don't know why. I just know I do. Because it's so repetitious. It's like I never get done with it.
But so is being a carpenter.
This is true.
So is being a fisherman. Don't you know that that the sweetest thing you can do is something you're familiar with, that you do it repeatedly, but it leaves your mind free. But if you hate it, you start to focus on the whatever it is.
Right.
And you get your wrong energy to do it from it.
Right. It's
some
like
people
I have to be
some
angry
people,
to even do
that's
it.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So that's not healthy.
Right.
So now don't be a naughty girl.
Just notice that I resent it and go
then,
on.
And then take, but wait for the, sit quietly, the resentment pass, and then go on and
uh-huh.
fold your clothes, and then your mind will be free and you'll discover things.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Okay, I will.
Yeah, I used to be a diamond cutter, you know.
I know.
And that's a very, very tedious, very precise work, right?
Right.
Working with little tiny diamonds. And I got so good at it, I could think of something else while my hands and my mind did it.
Right.
Sometimes I'd be so deep in thought, I'd ruin a diamond.
You cut right through it.
But most of the times, I could handle it fine. All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
Send you a card.
Yes, send some money.
Okay, I'll send you money too. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes free with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play.
Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding depend upon your donations to keep this program on the air. What is a donation? Well, to you, it could be a tank full of gas. To a person in need, it could be a cure stress device and how your mind can keep you well book. What is a donation? To you, it could be a meal out. To someone in need, it could be Roy Masters' insight about an incurable condition that doctors don't understand. What's a donation? To you, it could be a bottle of wine or a bag of chips every week. But Roy Masters would use that money to help someone in prison and change their life for good. So when you think, my donations don't count, you're wrong. Your donations do count. And without you, this program cannot continue to be heard on the air. So please, make a tax-deductible donation. Call 1-800-877-3227 or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or go to FHU.com right now and make your tax-deductible contribution.